Welcome to the event you have all been waiting for, a very special episode of Potterfic Weekly. I am Ryan. Danielle is afraid to say hi to you, apparently, all of a sudden. I am Ryan.
It just sounds so funny. I am Danielle. I don't know. It sounds so formal.
What would you prefer?
Hey, guys. It's Ryan and Danielle.
Hi, everybody. All right. We're here for another commentary. The cookies this evening are sugar cookies from our local Wild Oats, which has just been purchased by Whole Foods, so God knows how long this will last. Danielle has carrot cake. I have coffee. She has tea. And we were going to review Prisoner of Azkaban. Unfortunately, I loaned it to a friend of mine who's reading the books for the first time and thought the movies would be helpful to her understanding of the books. Little does she know. So we are going to go with Goblet of Fire, my least favorite movie. Although, you know what? I shouldn't say that because we did Chamber of Secrets and we both ended up liking that more than we thought.
Yeah, I think this movie has a lot of good parts to it. There's a lot that I enjoy about it.
I pretty much despise any scene with Michael Gambon in it.
Yeah, but, you take him out and it's
here's the thing. I'm going to go into this saying this is my least favorite movie. I'm probably still going to say that at the end, but I'll probably enjoy it more than I expect. Just a word about Michael Gambon. I think he totally destroys the character of Dumbledore. I'm going to get that right out in advance. And for you Michael Gambon lovers, I do have some good news. From the third movie to the fourth, he gets progressively worse, but since we're reviewing these in reverse order, he can only get better.
Exactly.
So, everyone, put your DVD in when you're ready. Put the little, the little selector, the little underline thing over play movie, and on the count of three, you're going to hit play movie. Now, I will repeat. When I say three, hit play. Trust me to say three in the same, you know, rhythm that I say one and two, okay? One, two, three. This is very exciting. We are off.
I just have to say cream cheese icing is the best thing in the world. Whoever came up with it has my love and affection.
Now, why is this a very nutritious cheesecake that you're eating here?
It's not cheesecake.
Carrot cake. Why is this a nutritious carrot cake?
I didn't say it was nutritious. I just like the cream cheese frosting.
So why does Whole Foods get away with charging me so much for carrot cake? What did they put in it that's good?
Carrots.
Real carrots?
Yeah.
Nobody listened to me.
It tastes homemade. I'm sure that's why they charge what they do.
I'm sure that's what they were going for. Oh my God, Alfonso's back.
Well,
I think John from Pottercast actually made the same
comment. We're in a graveyard, so this works. It's cool. I like.
It's a Horcrux.
Now, how did you say it? Nagini or Nagini?
I say Nagini, I believe. Yeah. Well, there's no way to really know so far unless Joe said it. I mean, if we listen to.
If we listen to.
Scholastic.com, it's Canutes and Rubaeus.
Oh, jeez. Well, someone says it. Voldemort says it in the movie, but I don't know. That could still be wrong.
Oh, he's about to say it in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Man, I feel so bad for Frank. The poor guy.
Wouldn't this be kind of funny if the words Harry Potter and the Goblet of the Fire were actually suspended over the Riddle House? Do you think that would be, you know, just a dead giveaway?
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be hard because I just listened to the,
That's actually, look at the distance between that little house and then the Riddle House.
It is quite
distant. That's kind of a long way to walk. They're like, oh, we don't like you. Stay over there.
So everyone knows, Danielle and I were eating dinner tonight. We're watching the news, and there was a 101-year-old woman who got beat up by a mugger. And he had to punch her in the face four times to knock her over. And they eventually caught the guy, and they interviewed the little old lady, and her exact response was, if I was a few years younger, I would have killed him. I think Frank's got that same type of...
I agree.
Just excitement level in him.
Frank's, it's like, stupid kids.
Frank's curmudgeon, but Frank's got guts. I'm going to try not to repeat everything Pottercast says, because I just watched the commentary for that.
I, on the other hand, have not watched it in a very long time, so I won't remember anything they say. Ooh. Except about the milky eyes.
I think John is obsessed about the fact that there was electricity in this house.
Yeah, but his parents, he was,
Yeah, but you...
He's half muggle.
I know, but the electricity hasn't been turned on in 50 years. Why would they bring a flashlight with him? Here's the thing. Why is Frank still working here? The house has been abandoned years ago. Why is Frank still there?
Well, that's just probably... That little cottage has probably just become his home. So he just stays there.
Which just seems odd.
You might not have money to go anywhere else. I think
the estate would have been stolen. Stolen. The estate would have been sold. Or... Did you turn it up a little bit? Oh, you hit a lot of subtitles?
No, because I don't know how.
It's the button that says subtitles. He's a pettigrew.
Yeah, so I don't like this. I don't like how they changed this plot line that we have Barty Crouch Jr. already at the beginning, because obviously that's... He's not here in the beginning.
Well, Joe authorized that. Joe gave permission to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's like a huge deal, but... You know, they did. Well, no, they did what they had to do. That's a big snake.
Well, I'll turn it up to hear everything.
Nagini. Okay.
In a few moments, we have until Frank dies. I just want to point out his old man ears.
Ugh, warm tail. So he's not even human. And he still has the power to use that curse, apparently. He doesn't even have a body. Well, he does, but it's very little icky, frail body.
Alright. Problems with the movie so far. The writing out of the Dursleys.
I kind of like Ron's reaction there, though. He's like, oh, look at me.
Covers his breasts.
Yeah.
I love Hermione when she said, you know, your mother wants you to come downstairs. I said, no, she doesn't. She's not even in the movie.
Yeah, but the good old Burrow. We still have the Burrow.
I love Arthur Weasley. I mean, they cut out the Dursleys. They cut out so much at the beginning of this movie.
The way I look at this movie a lot of the times is, if I watch it just as a movie, and I don't think to myself... About every little thing they got amazing wrong. Punch. I mean, I enjoy it as a movie. But, you know, obviously if you sit here and compare it in quality to the book, it's not nearly as good.
I disagree. I mean, I love this shot, though.
Yeah, I know. I do,
artistically,
too. To the boot.
Although now the sky looks too dark when they switch to the soundstage.
And Harry's like, what? Boy, almost gets left behind.
That would have been awful.
Oh, I don't know. Why would anyone want to travel like that?
Okay. Even if you cut the Weasleys, even if you cut the Dursleys, even if you cut Molly, why would you cut Bill and Charlie? Are you just not going to put them in the movies at all?
Because the filmmakers, you know, and the screenwriters, who apparently think we're all, you know, dumb, would probably, they'd say, well, the audience would be sitting there going, like, who are those two guys?
Kids, cover your ears. The filmmakers can blow me.
I know. Yeah. They're bad.
Did they give an appropriate amount of time for the kids to cover their ears just there?
I don't know. Yeah. This I thought was cool. I liked seeing this. All the
this
tens.
This was well done.
Look, I mean, that's how I pictured it.
Okay, podcast, little trivia moment. If you look, you can see, the house elves on horseback or camelback about to come into position right there.
Yep, right there. It's the house elves.
Yeah. Don't worry about putting Dobby or Winky in this thing. I know that was our little quota right there.
But I like how rowdy it gets. Like, people riding around because they're so excited.
Amos's backpack is actually larger than Amos.
I know. Oh, and I love the tent. I thought this was so cool.
Oh, I want one of these. Danielle's obsessed with the there's only one place we're going to get all this. Diagon Alley line from Chamber of Secrets. And I know Jules in the Storm, I believe, is obsessed with the, No, I'm sorry.
That is cool.
It's Xenia. Doesn't like the line from Prisoner of Azkaban, where Harry talks about looking up at the sky from his house with Sirius. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
looking up at the nice little meadows and all that stuff. Sorry, Jules, for comparing it with Xenia there. Actually, no, I'm sure you're flattered. But
so
I just hate that line
point.
Right there about... I love magic. Go. Bite me.
This is neat, though. I like
this.
This is a cool shot.
You know what my complaint is with this book? With this movie? I'm sorry. You have 734 pages of material, and you have to make up half of the movie.
Yeah, well, yeah. And also, I mean, come on. They were sitting up with the minister in the book. They were in the minister's box.
Yeah. What possible reason? They wanted to change Joe Rowland.
Instead, they gave him, like, they gave him the cheap seats.
Yeah.
Now, granted, in, you know, everyday scenario, that's where the Weasleys would sit. Come on, let's face it. But in this case, they were in the minister's box.
Well, they obviously thought they could write better than Joe Rowling. Okay, my cookie is done, everybody, so you're going to hear nothing but the unvarnished truth. I know I mentioned
you're like the noisiest eater in the world.
I don't think our listeners want to hear this, dear.
Okay. Oh, I love Fred and George. Look at them. That's great.
Get in Forge. Okay, that was dangerous.
Yeah. This, I really liked, we didn't see a lot of the Quidditch World Cup, but what we saw, I really liked. It was just so, it was so fun. I don't know, I loved it.
Or Harry and his future wife.
Yeah.
This job of the morning.
Cool, I love it.
I do like this. We don't get nearly enough of this. And I understand it's a 2.5 hour movie. My complaint is it's a 2.5 hour movie. There's no reason you couldn't go longer.
Love that.
The Wayne. No, that's not the Wayne. That's the, I don't think that's anything, actually.
I don't know. That was just Crumb being cool. I like that.
We're about to actually read about Crumb and after the end.
This is good.
Danielle's not listening to me, everybody. I'm used to it. Now, Crumb in the book, wasn't he more nerdy?
I don't think he was nerdy. They would describe him as surly.
This is not how I picture Cornelius Fudge. I'm sorry, no. I picture the leprechaun.
Yeah, that's not how I pictured Fudge.
And you know what's really
interesting? Well, it's a different actor from the third movie, isn't it?
No, it's the same one.
Are you sure?
I believe it is. This is my question, too.
If it is, he looks very
Jen
different.
And I were talking about this in episode 5 of Potterfic Weekly. How large is the Wizarding World? I mean, if Hogwarts has between 300 and 1,000 kids total, how are there, like, hundreds of thousands of people here? It just doesn't make any
sense. Well, it's all over the world, is how I look at it. Isn't it wizards from all over the
world?
Yeah,
but you'd have to have, like, every wizard and witch in the world in this one spot. I will say this, though. The actor who plays Arthur does a tremendous job. And I do like Rupert here. It's one of the few moments I can stomach Rupert Grint.
Well, this is Ron. Ron loves Victor Crumb.
Oh my god, Ginny got a line.
Ginny got a line, yay.
That's why I'm this count.
But I just love Fred and George. They actually get to be funny in this movie, and that's... They're wearing matching sweaters. It's so cute.
I'm not sure about this scene. I mean, they obviously... I'm not going to sit here and just tell you every difference between this and the book, although...
Well, yeah, I mean, most of the people listening would know that they know the differences.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sense this much overall pandemonium. I anticipated chaos, the kids were evacuated to the forest, you know, the parents dealt with things, the Death Eaters were not victorious. Maybe I haven't read the book in a while. I remember the Death Eaters had been driven off, but they got their damage in there. This is like a complete takeover of the Quidditch World Cup by about 6 or 7 people.
No, I think what it is just that people are totally panicking, and they're... When people panic, they just run to get out, and that's what creates the chaos, is that people are just running.
But nobody's
standing
up to them.
If you remember in the book, too, they were like, you know, they had people up in the air, they had, I mean, the Death Eaters were doing a lot.
They're still there if you look. It just seems too staged. I found it unbelievable that a handful of people could completely burn the place to the ground, that no one would stay and fight and overpower.
Oh, yeah. The fact that it's, like, as you see now, burned to the ground.
Like,
I mean,
Harry's the
much.
Only one that's
yeah,
left.
That's too much.
And...
It is too much.
I mean, they completely changed the Barty Crouch plotline around in the movie. I mean, in the book, he was still under... Crouch Sr.'s lock and key at this point. He had escaped briefly and set off
right.
the dark
mark. He escaped just in time, just to do the dark mark.
And didn't Winky take him back?
And he used Harry's wand, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Winky,
Well, no, my complaint is, in the book, there's a lot of ambiguity over when Crouch Sr. was taken over.
Mm.
And you don't really get that. The movie streamlines it a lot. And, I don't know, it just was attached the way it was before. Yeah, this seems just a little too Hollywood.
Yeah, it does.
Is that what you pictured apparating to be?
Well, they just,
Great job. I can't think of the actor's name. I'm sorry. The actor, please. Arthur does a great job. Oh, my God.
I don't like him at all.
Oh, my God. It's the bishop.
I don't like him at all. I don't understand the casting.
He looks blind.
It is terrible.
He looks blind. Can he even see Harry? He's, like, aiming his wand around like a little old lady who's... He's squinting.
And I know that, you know, the actor, I'm sure, is very accomplished. He's been in a lot of things, but... Man, I don't get the casting of him in this movie at all. It is not how I pictured Barty Crouch Sr. I mean, I pictured so much more stern, in control. Not like, he's so jittery.
Almost like, for anyone who's involved in U.S. politics, I pictured like Fred Thompson, who actually you're going to see in the news. He might run for president of the United States. He's the DA on Law and Order. Just an older guy, very stern. You don't mess with this guy.
Yeah.
Almost like a Mad-Eye Moody, almost. Not really like his personality, but just like, you know, the old gruff guy. This guy looks like he takes up ballet dancing.
Well, and they're making him look scared already when he's not supposed to be. It's just, I don't know. Not good casting on that. I love the trolley, though.
Okay, I was about to say.
I love the trolley. It's just the same woman. So cute.
She's got stable work for the next couple of movies. I do like this here. They streamlined the entire Ron is humble and won't take money plotline into a few sentences. I mean, I understand the band collapse.
And here we have Cho.
Oh, God, it's Cho.
I like her.
You'll remember her from the Prisoner of Azkaban movie.
She was good. Good casting for that, I think.
I was kidding about the Prisoner of Azkaban movie. She was supposed to be in it, but they cut her from the movie.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, God, Harry just hit puberty in the hallway. Is he wearing a chain? High tide?
There's Crookshanks hanging out.
This is the moment in the theater where everyone had just read Half-Blood Prince and was blown away by this line.
Hermione looks really old there. Like, I don't know.
We were all like, Sirius is alive? But he got killed and, oh wait, this is before that.
Hmm.
I won't make
this is
comment.
Stupid. It shouldn't say. All right, yeah. Well, let's just make it obvious that I'm sending messages to Sirius. He's not still a wanted fugitive or anything.
Oh, actually, doesn't he usually put? Does he put Padfoot or Snuffles?
Snuffles. Put Snuffles.
Oh, well, the audience are stupid here. I love the music here.
I like the music in this movie.
This is a great moment right here with Hagrid. I don't care if it's.
It's funny.
It is cool.
But yeah, everything happens so fast here. I mean, we don't have time to adjust being back to Hogwarts. Already we have newcomers. Like, it just happens so fast. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's understandable that they have to do that. This is funny.
What are those things in his hand? Are those like...
They look like ping pong paddles, but really big ones. Look at this Nigel hanging
out there.
To those
after the end fans who listen to Potterfic Weekly with some regularity, you're no doubt screaming at the screen right now. Seal the hole in the lake, you don't know. Love you, Xenia. Xenia, whatever your name is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
That's a great castle shot, though.
Let the bitching begin. Alright.
Oh, I'm sorry. I love this. Look at him. He's old.
He's old in his pacemaker.
It's funny.
I know, but...
He has to catch his breath.
Oh, God, it's Nigel.
I don't like Nigel. I'm sorry. I don't like Nigel.
Why does Dumbledore look like he's pestered? Like, it's Dumbledore. He would just, like, smile and nod his head.
Why is he wearing a fez?
Dobby is actually holding the fez in the Chamber of Secrets novel, Chapter 2. What is up with his beard? It's like duct taped on
everything. I don't like anything about him.
We act like we actually hate the man.
No, I mean, obviously, I mean the way he's playing this character. I just don't like it.
Because that's the story, kids. You stand alone. At some point, you're going to have difficulty when I'm insulting Michael Gambon or the screenwriter. Just assume I'm insulting them both equally.
So, yeah, this should be lovely ladies and gentlemen, but they apparently made it an all-girls school.
Okay, if any girl just randomly did that in the street, I would throw things at them. I'm sorry.
Me too. Those are kind of silly looking hats, too.
There's your ass cam.
Yeah, still not sure what to make of her.
What was
I love Seamus right there, though.
One big woman.
I'm one big woman.
Gabrielle.
I didn't really care for Fleur in this movie, either.
Yeah, the casting was off there,
I mean,
too.
Here's the thing. If you think about the one thing in your mind that sticks out very easily about Fleur, as she's described in the book, is that she's overwhelmingly beautiful. She's not in this movie.
Can I just complain about Dumbledore when he just kissed Madame Maxime in the hand? I wanted to barf. I'm sorry, carry on, dear.
No, but wouldn't you agree? I think that she's supposed to be striking.
It's awkward casting. All right, you're about to get my...
I like Crumb, though. I do like Crumb.
Okay, very annoying Dumbledore moment coming up, and this is why, because Michael DeGambit doesn't... Oh, that's apparently Flitwick, by the way, on the left there. Just watch Michael Gambon when they blow the fire around him right here. Look at it. He looks scared. He's like jumping back. Like, what's going on, kid? Somebody help me.
Oh, look at him.
Watch Dumbledore when they blow the fire around him. And tell me this is the Albus Dumbledore you recognize from the books. Oh, somebody help me. I'm so scared. It's just... Now he's suddenly fine.
I like Karkaroff. I thought he was well cast.
He was.
Creepy looking.
I don't know. It's just... Michael Gambon seems like he needs to, you know, go relieve himself in most scenes. It just...
Well, yeah.
For anyone who likes the movie Love Actually, check out the deleted scenes and you'll find a much shorter movie scene.
This grosses me out, but it's funny.
A little Flitwick.
Yeah. Oh! Ow!
Oh, God. If you thought I'd been bad on Michael Dumbledore now, just turn the...
Michael Dumbledore?
Oh, my God, Michael Gambon. They've merged in my head and it hurts me. Oh, if only it were a few words.
I don't like his costumes, even. I think they toned him down.
It's not just the actor. Oh, yeah, it's the screenwriters, yeah. Too. And I don't mean to take it out just on the
main. But if you just... Even something as simple as what he's wearing... Like,
you know what?
If you picture Dumbledore, Richard Harris as Dumbledore, he always had those beautiful flowing robes that looked so regal. That's Dumbledore. He always has those bright colors. He always wears gray.
Let me just clarify this before this idiot gets up here.
Oh, God. Barty Crouch.
You know... Richard Harris, who I adore, didn't read the books. Okay, can someone please explain to me what's randomly happening here?
Yeah, I don't get
what
this.
What is this?
There's a tornado in the Great...
I don't know.
It's stupid.
All right. The screenwriting is atrocious. The actor hasn't read the books. And neither did Richard Harris. Richard Harris didn't read the books either, but he was a brilliant Dumbledore. Maybe it was Chris Columbus, maybe it wasn't. But Mike Newell just apparently could not direct for his life, you know, in terms of... You know, Michael Gambon. It's the confluence of events. It's like a perfect storm that leads to the total trashing of the Dumbledore character. So sometimes they'll take it out on Gambon, sometimes they'll take it out on Newell. Don't get me wrong, they're all split. That's not what I pictured Mathai as at all, but I like it.
But I like him.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he does a great job, that actor. What's it, I forget his name.
What can't think of it.
Something Gleason?
Okay, explain
Gleason?
To... I'm ripping this off from podcast completely, but what the hell's up with the hands right here?
Yeah, Brendan Gleason, sorry.
What is he doing? He's having a seizure.
He's so weird. I don't get the acting here.
Is he somebody's brother-in-law? Maybe he's like an aluminum siding salesman who's like out of work. Oh, wait.
Watch and the blinking. Oh! Ugh.
Okay, now compare that to Richard Harris in the troll scene.
He had it.
Well, no one listens to this Dumbledore. They know the truth. Okay, now he promised to say a few words.
Oh, look at you.
He's so cute. The scene just drags and drags. He promised to say a few words like 45 minutes ago. Let's see how he keeps to that promise. So far, we've had Eternal Glory, Standalone, Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, it took me a while to get used to Moody's eye. I didn't picture a strap holding it in, but I like him. I thought he played the part so well.
Well, just think for all of the moments they had to cut from this movie for time. Just if only there were a scene that was completely useless to the plot, they could just remove just to, you know, make a few moments. Unfortunately, I just can't think of anything in this movie. It's just so lock solid. There's just not even a few moments I think they could spare. All right.
This scene is great.
I have to point out, though, that Emma Watson, and ladies, please forgive me, she's totally PMSing during this scene.
Yeah. Agree.
Matt Lewis, by the way, deserves an Emmy.
Okay, yeah, I should have clarified. Everything about the scene I like except for Hermione.
What?
Because Hermione wouldn't have sat there and almost cried. She would have answered the question because that's what she does.
And let me just clarify, too. I'm not a fan of either Rupert Grint or Emma Watson. Oh, God, look at her go.
Yeah, why is she already crying?
Is it possible for Ron's hair to even have grown that long during the summer?
No.
I do appreciate the releasing.
Yeah. At least I got all those scars on there. That's good.
Oh God, it's Rupert Grint looking pissed.
Mean looking scared.
Isn't that British for pissed?
No, that's British for drunk.
Okay. Oops. He is carrying the scene. These kids are awful. Except for Matt Lewis. Matt Lewis.
Oh, no. Matt Lewis is great.
Oh, God. There she goes again. And, you know, I mean to say, I'm blasting the kids' performance. I'm not blaming the kids. I'm blaming Mike Newell for, you know, pretty much everything.
Oh, God. Spiders.
It's his job to make sure the movie comes out right. These kids have proven they can do it.
Is that even a spider? It's freaky looking. Oh, poor Ron. I like that. Mm-hmm. I do like that.
Sorry, I'm watching the movie. I forgot
to check. This scene in the book was one of my favorites because you find out Harry can resist the Imperius Curse, which I just thought was so cool.
Yeah, of course.
Like, you know what? That's awesome.
Unfortunately, that was cut for time.
Harry can think for himself, and he can resist the Unforgivable Curse. I just thought that was really awesome.
Unfortunately, they cut that to give Michael Gambon some more.
Okay, you don't have to be quite so negative. You could, you know, I'm just pointing out. I like that in the book.
Okay, you want to see me not so negative? Matt Lewis has the floor.
Who researched his role by reading the book.
You mean someone in the movies who's getting paid oogles of money actually read the books?
Yes.
Wow.
He became so much less, I don't know. I hate to say dorky, but he was dorky in the first couple movies, and he's much less dorky now. He really changed the way he looks. Although, those are fake teeth, don't worry. Those aren't his real teeth.
Well, you should see the haircut they gave him for Order of the Phoenix. Oh, such a good job, Matt. Oh, God.
Oh, shut up, Hermione. I like the acting by Brendan Gleeson, though, because you can tell he almost, like, enjoyed that, yeah. You know? Because it's really not who he said he is. I like that.
She's such a ridiculous
She's
direction.
Such a drama queen.
Is it against the law to use the Avada Kedavra curse when it's a spider?
I don't think so. I don't like that. The stupid little flick of the tongue. dumb.
That was not in the novel.
No, no. It was completely made up for the movie.
Okay, now why are they in Trelawney's tower?
Well, they still take divination. Are they supposed? They're coming from class. I don't know. They're always moving that classroom around.
All right, Defense Against Darkness.
Oh God! Shut up.
Some of these kids really grew into the roles, and some of them.
Yeah, some of them didn't.
Some of them didn't.
I like the shot of the window. I don't know. I like that. Poor Neville.
I don't really, yeah. Well,
reminds me of Neville. I mean, he's sad. I like that.
I love what they said on the prior cast commentary right here. They had it rain out, so, you know, Cedric would be hot, wet Cedric.
Yeah, hot and wet.
I like that.
Don't do it. Oh, Ron. Hi. How are we friends?
Okay, that's a little awkward with Neville in the background reading his herbology book.
I never noticed that.
It's a little I thought that was a little forced.
All right, love this. Gotta say, love it. Love Fred and George.
I think Newell actually hurt himself doing this. He got to the ground and wrestled the twins to show them how to,
This is Hermione, though. This is how she is supposed to be. I love the way they drink the potion. It's just so, that's so Fred and George.
So this is the point where Newell, I guess, got on the ground and just wrestled with the Phelps twins because they weren't doing the scene right. I think he actually hurt himself pretty badly.
It's great. I love it. Tear your ears off. That's terrible.
I think Hermione could read through a tornado.
I know. I think that girl can read through anything. It's like, let's go to the library.
Wasn't there something with Karkaroff's assistant? There was the original Crumb, or he tried out for Crumb.
Something like that. I like this little look here that he gives Hermione. He's like, yeah, I got my eye on you.
I'm not really sure why. You seem completely like a mental case to me, but you know.
Yeah.
I've got my eye on you. Just stop crying.
Well, please. They actually wouldn't have had classes together because he's older than she is.
Sure.
Although, actually, don't they, in the books, do they still just have classes on their boat?
And no,
Do they join?
I think they join classes.
I can't remember.
Well, yeah, they live in the boat.
Yeah. And they hang out with the Slytherins. Like, they're at their table and... Oh, look, Dumbledore's wearing gray.
As opposed to what?
What a shock.
He only has one outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like... I don't know.
They get his fingers right. That's outstanding.
What a shock.
Well, no, it is. It's like you're supposed to believe that Dumbledore has held the Wizarding World together. He's the most brilliant, most powerful, most wise leader that they have, and he looks afraid of the simplest things. It looks like he's afraid to get the mail because it might rain on him.
Yeah. No. Yeah. She's not right. She doesn't look part Vila. He's good, though. I liked Cedric.
The actress is much older than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like Moaning
Myrtle. Oh, God. Here he goes again. Okay, here's my question for everyone listening. Who monologues more, Voldemort or Dumbledore in this movie? Discuss. Vessel of Victory? Okay, I really think Dumbledore is on the payroll for the Triwizard
Corporation. I love Snape here. Snape's like,
old man?
Turn around.
No, there's no way Dumbledore's not on the payroll. Like, he's in semi-retirement and he's on the payroll with these guys. There's just no way. Oh, look, he looks afraid.
Oh, God, it's so bright. Oh, my Shield God, my eyes.
My cataracts. I need to have laser treatment. Now, remember, kids, he very calmly measures the situation and says, Harry Potter, very calmly.
Normally they all look at him like, no. Mistake.
Oh, God.
Harry plays the scene well, though.
Oh,
look at that look!
That's like the look
of, like, a jealous girlfriend. What?!
That's actually the you slept with my sister.
Yeah, I know, it is. That's a horrible look. Wow. I think that's the only bit of good acting that Ron does, though.
Well, he looks constipated.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad for Harry in this book. Poor kid doesn't ask for any of this crap, and it's just, like, thrown at him. Now the whole school turns against him. It's horrible.
Like a little Flitwick in the background.
So what room is this?
This is the trophy room.
Oh, okay. You French tart. Who says you French tart?
We're listening to the subtitle. Oh, God, the worst scene in the history of filmmaking. Dumbledore throws Harry into the trophy case. I love when she takes out the light.
I like that.
Oh, God. The voice of reason, that rock of emotion.
He's twitching.
He kind of looks like Hitler, didn't he?
I don't like him at all.
Don't worry, I hear they kill him.
I had forgotten about him, actually, until you put the movie on.
What happens if he says no? Will he just, like, drop dead? Look at Matt.
I know, what if he refuses to
compete?
Look
at Dumbledore, he's, like, up to her breasts. No offense for those of you who were just grossed out by the prospect. It's like, he's up to just, like, her...
It's okay, honey. Breast is not a dirty word.
Well, I know, but now it's filling my head with all kinds of pictures I shouldn't be looking at.
Oh, okay. Gryffindor Tower seems to have moved again.
No, it's Dumbledore's office.
Oh.
Okay, the best line from Maggie Smith in the entire movie is coming up. Wait for it. The devil of Bate!
And his rules! Oh, I like how McGonagall looks out for him, though.
Well, yeah. And this is actually one of the only scenes, I think, in the movies where you just have the adults.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never would have had this in the book.
But yeah, you know, by the time you get to book 6, you do have scenes where it's just...
No, it's just the staff. Well, no, you have...
Know, but
the only I can think of is Snape at Spinner's End with Narcissa and Bellatrix. You know what the thing is with Michael Gambon, and this is nothing he can control, but it's just, you know, casting choice. Richard Harris was an old man who played an old man
who had that twinkle in his eye, who just really nailed the character. Michael Gambon looks like a young man with a beard.
With a fake beard and,
clue to him. He doesn't seem old. He seems like he's... It seems like a high school play where you have the 17-year-old playing the 80-year-old, and you can instantly tell. I mean, there's something about his performance that just rings me as false, and I understand that, you know, he's following, you know, the late, great Richard Harris, but still.
God. Both Ron and Hermione have PMS in this movie.
They're meant for each other. I wonder if they ever thought of that.
Mm.
Oh, God. How many times do they say Eternal Glory in this movie?
Piss off. Oh.
Feels so betrayed.
I mean, I understand that Ron can be jealous, but, you know, it's also at the same time, Harry's never done anything that would warrant that reaction from him. Harry never asks for the attention that he gets. He doesn't like it.
Ron's a 14-year-old kid who feels insecure.
I love Miranda Richardson, too.
Oh, she does a great job.
Love her.
I love the thing she does with her tongue.
Yeah. She's very awkward looking. She's not pretty.
Except with that hat she has. It's like a big bump in the head. She does do a very
good
job.
She's great.
Too bad they couldn't fit Ollivander in her.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see Mr. Ollivander again. And the quill. Well, this is kind of awkward.
There's a mild sexual.
Yeah, this is awkward. I'm not comfortable with this.
Oh.
Awful.
I'm sorry. I'm even like.
See, but there are good parts to this.
Well, that's
movie
the thing. Even I have to admit, the scene is great.
She's just so good.
Dan's got a great line right here. Coming up.
It must be to be a reporter when, like, you don't have to write anything.
Yeah, she won't be in the fifth movie, I believe, right? I know they cut everybody.
They're going to cut a lot out.
Was the Owlery always way over there?
I never pictured. I just pictured the Owlery being up in a tower.
I know it is. I read a lot of fanfics, and they always run off in the middle of the night to send a letter, and I never pictured them having to put on, like, their snow boots and try to slap across the
I know
ground.
Birds poop a lot. I didn't picture it that covered with poop.
Well, you need a scorgify charm.
Well, you think they clean it every now and then? Or do the owls like it like that?
I don't think they really care. This is cute.
But yeah, I just pictured it being part of the school where you could just walk up some stairs. And
in the book, do they meet in the common room or do they meet in Hogsmeade?
Yep. No, they, well, they meet in Hogsmeade because they,
that's
they,
cute.
Yeah. They see him as a dog and they follow him into a cave and they talk, but then they also meet in the fireplace.
Okay.
But they definitely meet more than once. Yeah, this is, I don't like the way they did the scene either because it's not how I pictured.
Well, nobody does.
Yeah, I mean, it's not described as a bed of coals that looks like Sirius. I mean, it's Sirius's face.
the newspaper for opposite very well.
Age 12. That's weird. And that would have been more difficult, I would think, to know that way.
What is he doing on his end to do this? Is he shoving his head into the cold? No, because I just want to know how they're going to have this scene in Order of the Phoenix when he calls Grimald Place to ask about his father. Is Harry wearing that same shirt for, like, the last three scenes?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's his pajamas. No, Harry. Never just a dream.
He looks like he's actually having difficulty speaking.
Look at him, he's in pain.
Well, he's probably shoving his head into the... That would have been a great way to recast Gary Oldman. You could just say the new actor in Order of the Phoenix had his face burned off trying to talk to Harry in the fourth movie.
I don't like that line, the devils are inside the walls.
It was great in the trailer, though. It took me ages to figure out what the hell they were talking about. Barty Crouch, Heart of Stone, that little dweeb.
Yeah, that stupid little twitching dweeb, for lack of a better word.
We have a better word, guys, but... I wonder if they really cut the line there. They must have cut the line where he says, you don't have a choice, you're the boy who lived. It was in the trailers, and it sounds like Gary Oldman. I mean, thank God they did that, or else I would have started talking stuff at my own TV right now. Someone said this somewhere, it may have been podcast. I love that Ron's...
His pants.
His pant legs too are short. Too short.
Yep.
That was nice. That was ominous.
Very.
Anything with Matt Lewis that makes me sit up.
Well, come on. The kid likes Herbology.
We're reading After the End right now, and he is now Professor Longbottom of the Herbology Department. Alright, this scene is stupid. I'm sorry. I understand.
It's stupid. They're making them seem like your typical high school students, which they're not.
You know what? I mean,
I don't like the Ronald.
Melissa Ranelli got this perfectly right. Ron would not be this petty if he... Now, at this point in this storyline, according to this screenwriter, Ron knows there are dragons.
According to the screenwriter.
Ron knows there are dragons now, and that's why he set that whole thing in motion to warn Harry. Mm-hmm. And still somehow looks scared at the same time.
And besides which, in the book, she hung out way more with Harry than she did with Ron.
Yes.
Because it said Harry has a line or a thought that's something like, when Hermione's your best friend, you spend a lot more time in the library.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't hang out with Neville, no offense. Oh, aww. God, look at the flower and the slick back hair. Come on, Harry's
getting hair and makeup advice from Hagrid, you know you're just having
a... Look at it glistening. Look at his hair.
Ew. What's up with the Dark Forest? Did they call the Forbidden Forest the Dark Forest in this?
I honestly don't remember.
Hmm.
Oh, Harry's That's reaction. Great. That's cute. But yeah, I know. We had been discussing this on the forum. I just don't know what to make of Madame Maxime. I definitely didn't picture her taller than Hagrid.
Someone, I think it was you, Danielle, mentioned she was too delicate. I would just like to point out the fact that she was...
I think it might have been Jen who said
she was... Yeah, that she was eating crumbs out of beards. Hey, if you squint, you can see Charlie.
Yeah.
What really upsets me, because I think Bill and Charlie are just... They're obviously not big players, but they're part of the Weasley family. The only sightings they have in the movies are in a picture in Prisoner of Azkaban. In Prisoner of Azkaban, they're a pitcher.
Oh, that's right.
They're in a pitcher. From Egypt.
Yeah, that's a stupid plot line they put in.
It could be handled so much better. I just can't believe that Ron would...
Ron wouldn't do that. Him. Ron wouldn't do that.
You know, movie Ron is just... And I forget that, you know, we haven't covered Prisoner of Azkaban yet. Movie Ron is weak. He is a crybaby. There's just...
Oh, I don't like this girl right here. She looks so mean. Look, he's still short.
Seamus is apparently firmly in Ron's...
Ron's, yeah, he's Ron's crony now, I guess. I don't know.
Ron has cronies.
Oh, God. This is what I hate about Draco. Every sentence starts with, "My father and I," or... "My father told me." He's just, he's so annoying.
This is a great moment.
Yeah.
Did you notice how he couldn't find his wand for a second?
Mm-hmm. Draco was a little ferret.
Oh, that's actually interesting. For those of you listening to After the End, that moment reminds me of Draco, sucker punching Ron. right down Jamie's pants. He's got some great facial expressions going on this.
Yeah, he does. It's funny.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, God, I don't care about your father. So you have, I noticed in this movie we at least get more interaction between the teachers, which is kind of nice.
They gave Maggie Smith a line. Too bad half of her lines weren't even in the book.
Yeah.
Did Maggie Smith save Malfoy in the book?
I think so.
Did she?
Yeah, I think she did. I'm rereading them now, but I'm only on book two. Little stub. That's something I always wonder about with the books and with just the Harry Potter universe that's been created is, like, they have all these spells and all these charms and things, like, Wouldn't you think that wizards wouldn't have to wear glasses because they could just have a spell that fixes their eyes? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder about that.
True, although you can make the argument that wizards can't fix everything.
This is true. And then, actually, I'm remembering back to, is it Order of the Phoenix, where Arthur gets that nasty wound and nothing heals it very well, and they actually try muggle stitches, right?
Does it work?
I don't know. I think it helps. But, yeah, they actually can't use their own method, so that makes sense.
I know the podcast people
but
were
it's just,
talking
if
about
you
this.
Think
why
about,
doesn't
like,
he just, why doesn't he take Harry now?
I don't know. Unless it's because Voldemort's not ready yet.
That's true.
I mean, that's the one thing about Voldemort. He's extremely patient.
Yeah.
And he kind of almost likes things to be planned and drawn out and dramatic. He has a flair for the dramatic.
That's true. Now, what did you have in the book there? You had, like, a 17-part chapter on how Harry learns to Akio.
Yeah, he has to learn the summoning charm with Hermione. He summons pillows.
Isn't it? Don't they, like, flop Professor Flitwick all around? They're trying to summon the pillows.
Do they?
I think they do. The Harry-Hermione shippers are about to rejoice.
Yes.
Oh, I take back something I said earlier. I said that there's no indication of a Ron-Hermione ship in these movies. I think they're both screwed up enough that they really couldn't be with anybody else.
This is true.
Why can't they look at each other?
Because it's funnier this way, I guess.
Well, give in to your passion, Hermione. Just give in and let it go.
Look at her outfit.
It's dragon head.
Yeah. And the little horns. Look how he tells her off.
Well, he had to tell her something.
He has to have a line somewhere.
Well, yeah, they had to get him in the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, you know.
They had to give him at least a line.
Although maybe he was slightly jealous. Who knows? He likes Hermione at this point.
No, they needed to give him a line.
Nope. Oh. Well, because in the book, I know Crumb asks Harry. Because he's like, are you dating Hermione? And he's like, no.
Well, I just really love.
But he wants to make sure.
Okay, this guy gets one good line in the whole
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I almost forgot. Ooh.
I think Dumbledore has a little crush on Barty in this, don't you think? He always defers to Barty. Is her hair blue?
Yeah, it looks like there's a blue stripe.
Oh my god, they're color coordinated.
I mean, here's the thing though. If you've read Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, you learn that the Welsh green dragons are by far like the tamest and the calmest. Don't you think it's kind of not fair to put a Welsh green in with all these nasty dragons? I mean,
you guys
say
Welsh green?
Fleur. They're easier to beat.
But the thing about Fleur in this is, and I can't remember in the books if this is true. She sucks.
Yeah, she can't do much.
No one's eating magical law enforcement?
Believe
is he game
so.
In sports?
No, no, no.
No,
that's,
he's
Ludo Bagman. Is magical games and sports, isn't he?
No, I think it's the other. Yeah, so what the hell is Crumb? What the hell is. Okay, I'm forgetting my canon here. We apologize, everybody. No. No, he's International Magical Cooperation.
Okay.
I have a question. How do you go from the head of law enforcement to International Magical Cooperation?
What?
So like a retirement gig just to get your three highest earning years in or something?
Man, I would not want to be Harry. I would not want to go last in this competition. Not at all. I mean, how do they keep the crowd safe in this? That's what I want to know.
Is Ryan up there with Nigel?
Yes, he is. I just noticed that. He's standing next to Nigel.
Just so everyone knows, in the end of Order of the Phoenix, when Fred and George magnificently tried to fly off into the sunset on their brooms, Nigel will salute them as they depart Hogwarts. Magnificently. See, I can pronounce words, too. Wouldn't that be awful if Harry just, like, got burned to a crisp right there and that was the end of the series?
I know, like, but, I mean... It's awful to put him through
I'm just
this.
Thinking in our schools today, if you don't, like, wash the floor, the entire staff gets fired, and, like, you know, or if you don't put up the little, you know, danger, you know, wet floor signs, and everyone slips, you get sued for $500,000. They're shoving him in a ring with, like, a fire-breathing dragon. And they refuse to let him drop out because it's a magical contract.
And they make the summoning charm seem easy.
Thank God Hermione was here. We'd all just die without her.
Oh, yeah. Poor Harry. It's awful. That dragon is scary looking. That's for sure.
But the dragon doesn't just walk around the rock. Actually claps for him.
Mm-hmm. Draco's like, damn, the dragon missed.
I can't remember, but I really hope the thing falls on Draco right now. And thank God they secured that chain.
Yeah, thank God they made it impossible for the crowd to get hurt. Well done, dragon.
Professor McGonagall's little charting hat. Now, here's my question, and I know they raised this in other venues. What is anyone doing to go save Harry since, you know, the dragon broke away? Where are the dragon keepers? Where is Dumbledore? They all just wait to see if he comes back.
Yeah, they just hang out.
As they crash into Dumbledore's office.
I forget, do the tiles start repairing themselves? Because they should. But I don't know if they put that in because it was a costly effect. Yeah, the roof will just start repairing itself. I don't know, I can't remember if they put that in.
I remember that from the book. I do remember in the movie thinking, you know, they could do Harry Potter 5, reshingling the roof. I think the Firebolt has hooks on it.
Yeah, this hole's still there, so then they're not. I think that's what they did in the book.
This is an outstanding effect, I will give it that.
Oh, yeah. That dragon looks very real.
Yeah.
And they came a long way with CGI.
Hopefully nobody liked that bay window they had there.
Yeah, I mean, they made the scene much more dramatic and they elongated, but, you know, it makes it exciting.
Here. No, yeah. It works here. Sometimes the screenwriters will change little things. They change the end of Prisoner of Azkaban, they extend the scene. Extending it to, you know, make it more adaptable to the cinema, that's fine. To make it more movie-oriented is absolutely fine. What I can't stand is when they change it for no reason other than to put their own little stamp on it, when they leave out something critical because they have to cut time and then put in something totally ridiculous 5 minutes later.
Okay. Or if they do it just for, you know...
Yeah.
Because they think the audience won't get it. And it's like, you know what? You gotta make these movies for the fans, too. I mean, not just for the people who haven't seen it, who haven't read the books.
Look at Nigel.
Oh, I missed him.
He'll be back.
His broom is, like, going, it looks like it's about to die.
He's not, like, alignment there. He's going...
Yeah, this scene is terrible. That's...
Yeah,
that's not Harry.
Harry would not want
to Harry would to not want attention. This attention. And when he... No.
Well, you know what? I'm going to
No, you know what?
Back.
No, it's when
he's
he...
He's fine here.
Yeah, it's this. When he opens the egg, that's not Harry.
Yeah, because... Yeah, like, he
no,
would never say that.
No.
And what's up with the Parvati, the Paddle twins both being in Gryffindor all of a sudden?
Yeah, I know. The Teals.
I love how they drop them.
They're like, oh, we like you, Harry, but not that much.
Oh, shut the hell up.
Well said.
I will repeat what I said earlier. Ron would have warned Harry.
You know what they kind of miss in the movies is that they don't show you how solid the friendship really is.
Which is true. You don't get a sense since actually Chris Columbus left why these two are friends.
Right.
They take away him wanting to die for Harry and Azkaban. They take away pretty much their entire friendship in this movie, other than they can't find dates to a ball. They have nothing in common.
Yeah.
They really just gut this friendship. Oh god, Hermione's crying again. Which was warranted there, I'm just pointing out the fact that she said that.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the only times she cries in the book.
That's true. Did they move the house tables back?
Why they move them?
Mm-hmm. Great moment.
Oh, this is so cute.
I do like the moment that the guys over at Pottercast brought up there. Cedric never told his friends to leave Harry alone. Cho did tell her friends to leave Harry alone.
Yeah.
Bonbon? What's a bonbon?
It's a candy.
Okay. Oh, God.
What? Oh, man, I don't get Nigel.
It's Nigel with the brie.
Oh, it's all disappointed. Why didn't the owls just bring it in?
Okay, Molly's not in the movie. She didn't send you that. I love this line.
Oh, go, Ginny.
All right, this wasn't in the scene, but Maggie Smith pulls it off brilliantly.
Yep. And it, you know, it kind of makes sense, too, that a little... Yeah. It feels like a one-shot, like a missing
yes.
moment. It feels like a missing moment.
That's good.
Because I can picture this happening, like her
when
wanting
she whips
them
around.
To, you know...
Oh, I love it when she whips around.
We missed the moment.
Right here. They're about to be mean to Eloise Midgen as a fan of After the End. I can't accept that.
But at least that's a line that Ron would actually say.
Yeah, that's true.
I love it. good.
Oh, poor Eloise. I love you, Eloise.
Oh, and can I just say I love Neville in this scene? Because he gets up, he's the first one on his feet.
Neville's a Gryffindor, true and true.
Yep.
I predict...
He is.
Danielle, I'm not sure if you went to these forums that we were predicting what will happen in the epilogue. I predict Neville will be the head of Gryffindor House at some juncture. Mm. So Maggie Smith really gets to do in the entire movie. Oh my god,
they're
the girls
like,
no, are
no, 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 we're not dancing.
Alright, come on, future head of Gryffindor House.
Good for you, Neville.
This, I think, is funny.
Well, hey, he's got a good little date in Ginny, so yeah, he's got to impress Ginny.
My god, we watched this movie with a friend of ours who's new to the Harry Potter fandom. When Neville comes in late from the date, from the Yule Ball, all she yelled is Ginny. Oh no, what did she yell?
I don't remember.
Or she yelled like Neville got laid or something like that, something completely inappropriate, but still. Look at their little briefcases.
I know, what's with that?
Okay, did she grow?
Yeah, like she's even bigger than him now.
No, she always was bigger than him.
I said she's even bigger than him now. This is actually bizarre.
This actually mimics my first date with Danielle. She actually did what just happened there. Danielle actually did eat food out of my beard.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Do you not remember?
That's gross.
You don't remember our first date?
You didn't have a beard then. All you had was like half a goatee.
It grew in fast. This is cute.
Yeah.
No, they would have loved if the first person stopped and they all just plopped over. I love this.
Yeah, I like Snape in this scene. He's funny.
Although it would have been a lot more effective if he actually smacks their heads together.
Yeah, that would have been really painful, though.
That's true.
Doesn't ask who.
It's Fred.
I think it's Fred. Sure.
Those are those little black notebooks
so
you can
great.
Buy at CVS. Like,
yeah, I know. Did you notice that Snape like looks a little too interested in it?
Yeah, that was complete. It's like he should have had the newspaper up there, you know what I mean?
He never hits Hermione, at least. I mean, what is this, study hall, or are they taking a test?
I think they're taking a test. What happened? Were the dungeons booked for this class? You notice Hermione's the only one who really makes any noise, and she's the only one who gets off on.
Right. Good for you, Hermione. I like her in that scene. She's good. She's like, yeah, you're a jerk.
I love this. On Alan Rickman's part, this is great.
Yep. It seems to me more like study hall, though, because, well, she handed in a thing. Because, like, why would the twins be there?
Yeah, that's true.
But who knows?
Is it supposed to be, like, Newt, like, Owls Part 1 or something? No, they're...
No.
Refused.
And they really wouldn't be allowed to talk in those.
Ah! It reminds me of us in the beginning.
Except I never wore leggings.
Yeah, that's true. I never went to find an owl.
Yeah, that's true. This is, like, my favorite line in the book, though. Wonka Bumblebee. Oh, she seems so sad. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, Harry.
Cho Chang gets such an interesting rap in the fanfic. She's the evil, you know, Death Eater, or she's, you know, the malicious ex-date.
Yeah, like the ex, like, sort of girlfriend.
Yeah, it's like, this characterizes her as such, like, a sweet person. Yeah. Granted, she's a little, you know, upset, you know.
I mean, yeah, she's... But yeah, I don't like when she's written as this very malicious person.
I think there was a cut scene right there, because there's a lot of,
Am I thinking of after the end, correct, when Cho's in that, isn't she? She's written in there?
Yeah, we haven't gone to her.
Okay, before. I won't say anything. But she's in the story.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah. Oh, go Ginny. Oh, look, twins just happened to walk by.
Are those actually the sweaters that Hermione's wearing in the third movie? Here's a good question. Where are they coming from?
Oh, who knows?
No, but don't they start from the castle?
Yeah, they do. I don't know why they're outside.
It'd be great if you had to, like, meet at the Quidditch pitch in the middle of the snowstorm and get truck schlepped back up to the school.
Oh, those are hideous.
Oh my god, it's Harry.
Oh, Molly, what were you thinking?
She's not in the movie. She can't answer you.
No, but really. You know... Molly, I know you gotta get things secondhand, but that's all you can find for poor Ron.
No, they're hand-me-downs. I got the sense they were hand-me-downs from the 70s.
Maybe.
I love this.
Oh.
I do love McGonagall's reaction to Ron's robes.
Oh, really?
Look at this.
Aww.
I love how he just, like, grabs her and yanks her in there.
He's like, come on.
I got the sense they were kind of, like, in the social, like, inner circle. You wonder why they were waiting till the last minute.
Hmm.
Oh, Hermione in your blue robes.
I know, they changed the girls to wear dresses. They should be wearing robes.
I was actually listening, I think it was Pottercast. Melissa did something on a Wizard Rock group. No, I'm saying this badly. A bunch of Wizard Rock bands got together in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and she was interviewing two of the girls who showed up in dresses, and one of them was movie Hermione in pink, and one was book Hermione in red. Mm-hmm. And blue.
Yeah. Blue robes, no dress.
Yeah.
Oh, look at Crumb.
That scene would have made so much more sense if Harry had a thing for Hermione. That just seemed... It was an awkward scene.
Yeah, I loved the way it was written in the book, because when it's first described, it says, and there was Victor Crumb with a girl Harry didn't know.
Yeah.
Harry really doesn't recognize her.
Yeah, that just made it seem like Harry had a thing for her. Oh, God, did you see Nigel there with, like, a 6'5" girl? No, Nigel was just there. Although he's a first year, so maybe that wasn't. That'd be great if they fit him in there and he's a first year.
Here's the thing. I mean, they're all like, is that Hermione Granger? I mean, it looks just like her because in the books they don't make her look all frumpy and messy hair.
Well, and, yeah,
she
and
looks
that's good,
pretty to begin with.
Because this
with.
Is one of the scenes that we said early on you were going to have trouble with. Does it look like he has a tag coming out of the back of his wig there? This is one of the scenes that they're going to have a lot of trouble with because they made her, like you just said, so beautiful during the movies that by the time she's supposed to look glamorous, it's what she looks like in every other scene.
Right.
Like, what's different
so there
about
was
her?
Nothing, her hair was slightly
her hair's
different.
Done up. Okay, Dumbledore here looks pompous. He's like, just smile.
The man only wears gray. I don't like it.
Well, no, it's like he grabs from...
Oh,
he grabs
love,
McGonagall's hand
I
and is like, come with me, smile. And she looks like she's been waiting for Dask to dance for 50 years. And he's
I'm
like,
sorry.
Throw
love,
them up.
I love Filch dancing with Mrs.
Oh, I love these two right here.
Yeah. Look at Neville. He looks great.
I do like that they don't have him as awkward as
I love
he was.
The kilt.
Well, no, he was awkward in the books, but this works too, because I just think he's such a strong character that...
Oh, can I just say, too, that, you know, some credit goes to Barty Crouch, because he just had to keep drinking that nasty Polyjuice potion. That stuff must be really disgusting.
So we're going to give him credit for that?
No. For not puking every time he had to drink it.
Right. I know Jen hates this moment.
I don't like it either.
Now, these are the weird sisters, obviously. The name is... Now, that actually, if this is deleted scene, he actually falls backward into the crowd.
How
and they
big
just kinda
his
crowd
feet
circle.
Are? No, I don't like this. I liked more the formal dancing, too.
There's a crab there at the end, if you notice.
Yep, look at him. We're already pumpkin. Man. See, this though is the wrong. Hermione, I mean, Ron's obviously jealous. Harry doesn't care. He's like, yeah, whatever. She's with Crumb.
I don't necessarily think I have a problem with the scene. I can't remember, though.
I love that line. Oh, and why do we care, Ron?
One thing they do get right here is I love when they go out into the hallway, there's a bunch of girls crying on the stairs.
Why, though?
Because their boyfriends danced with other girls. Haven't you ever gone to a dance? Did you ever go to high school dances?
Yeah, I don't remember girls randomly crying in the hallway.
We went to different dances then.
This is only like a year or two older.
Did it really start snowing right behind me? Oh, look at the guys dancing in the...
And they listen to her, that's what's funny.
In the background, though.
I thought that was kind of dumb.
No, that's high school.
This isn't high school. This is Hogwarts.
It was close enough. Look at them. You could fit a Buick between the two. I forgot that.
Oh, he goes for a butt. Look at that. Oh.
Danielle did the same thing to me on our first date, everybody.
Shut up. Did not.
As we move into the later tasks, you know, Curmudgeon Ryan will emerge, so I hope you enjoyed this little respite.
crows are back.
You heard Alfonso was here?
Is that what you pictured the dark mark looking like?
I pictured it much smaller and not moving, but that's my limited limited imagination. It should be moving. Mm. So is he reliving the death of Frank?
Yeah. He's seeing it in a dream. And he thinks it's a dream, but it really happened.
I love that moment. I love that, just the...
The little bit of green in his eyes.
My friend here screamed out, Ginny got laid, or Neville got laid, or someone got laid. I love the bed floppy.
Apparently there was no curfew that night.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God, her PMS is back. It's actually the same tone of voice she had when she was screaming at the dance. I should tell everybody everything they need to know. Let me ask you.
What does that mean, Hermione?
Do you picture canon Harry and Hermione just laying around having a chat about this kind of stuff? I can't.
Not really.
You know what? These seems like two people who like to go bowling with each other. Harry and Hermione don't go bowling.
No. I'm going to run to the other side of you, so you're looking at me. Oh, I love, I love this song. It's Harry's like, okay, I told you it was a dragon. What does he tell me? He tells me to take a bath.
It makes me hard to root for him before he dies.
I know. Okay, great. I'll take a bath.
Would you take a bath in water that color?
No. But that's a really nice bathtub. It's huge.
But Dan's apparently worked out a little bit more.
I wouldn't mind having one of those.
So Dan's apparently worked out a little bit more since the filming of this movie.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God. This scene is just not right. I'm sorry.
How old is this actress?
She's like she's 42.
She's 42?
Yeah.
I was going to say 53, as a guess.
Yeah, she's not that old.
I guess if you died 50 years ago, you kind of take what you can get when you can get
it. Yeah.
Okay, I think the Polyjuice Potion references are a little... heavy in this book.
The boy keeps covering himself up with bubbles.
Myrtle, if you want to see it that bad, go get tickets to Equus.
Yeah, there you go. Use the egg. Use the egg. That's good.
Wasn't that a lot farther in the book?
What do you mean?
He didn't just plop under the water and shove his head in. Oh, no.
He had to listen to it many times. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, you put it under and you can hear it.
Okay, we have the Black Lake, the Dark Forest.
Cedric's not too bright.
He isn't the sharpest crayon in the box.
Almost all the bubbles were gone. That's awful.
She's like, rawr.
I like you, Harry.
I don't know how old she was when she died.
A Myrtle, wasn't she, they tell you what year she was, don't they?
I remember. She's a Muggle-born, that's all I recall. It's not the Black Lake in the... I will say that, as irritated as I am that they carved Winky and Dobby out of the script, I do think it gave Neville more to do, and it's very believable the way they inserted him in here. I don't have a problem with that.
No, I mean, he's good at herbology. It makes sense for him to know this.
Plus, you know, so many of the standing characters based on the screenplay don't have a lot to do, so made-up work that seems believable, like McGonagall teaching them to dance or Neville helping out with the gillyweed, I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, it was so simple. All you had to do was ask Neville all this time. Oh, they're not being mean.
Four go down, will four come up? Who is Neville friends with?
Well, you figure he's friends with Harry and Seamus and Dean. They're all in, and Ron. They're all in the same dorm room all the time.
Neville doesn't have a best friend, does he?
I don't think so.
I swear to God, Dumbledore is thinking of retiring from Hogwarts this year, and he wants to go work for like the Wizarding Wireless. And this is, oh my God.
I like Moody here, though. Swallow it.
Did he have his glasses on in the...
I think so. Didn't he?
I can't remember if he could just see underwater. Or maybe I'm actually thinking of a fanfic. Never mind. Carry on.
I killed Harry Potter. No, don't worry, Neville.
I do like that. Which Neville, of course, misses.
I always thought, like, though, that, I don't know, when I was reading the book and I, you know, you have Fleur and Crumb and Cedric, they all perform some type of charm or, you know, to get through this. Harry just eats a plant. I always thought, I'm like, does that count? Like, does he get points taken off for just using a plant? I mean, is, because it shows that, you know, he knew, well, he didn't, he had to ask.
Well, no, he had to know, they had to know the charms to put on, he had to know the plant to eat. I mean,
yeah, yeah, that's true. And actually, once you're down there, you have to know how to deal with the Hinky Pucks and the... Oh, the Grindelows, actually.
Hinky Puck is a funny word.
Yeah.
Hmm. It's Crumb.
No, wasn't that a mer... That was a mer person.
That was Crumb.
Only Crumb's head is, looks like a shark, not his whole body.
That's true. Flora lost something, that's hard to believe. She's really the best they had.
Well, hard to believe, isn't it?
There goes France. Now, I know from the DVD that Dan Radcliffe wanted to film all these scenes underwater, so he actually filmed it 10 seconds at a time or something like that.
Yeah, he was in and out of a tank a lot. The mer people are kind of freaky looking.
These are obviously not actors.
Yeah, these are wax. Wax figures.
You just have to love the differences between the Wizarding World and our world. Could you imagine if, like, you know, in any of our schools now, which are so PC, that we're like, we're going to drown your kids for an hour, but don't worry, they'll be fine.
Cedric is a good guy, though. I mean, I know that...
He is. He's... Yeah, he is. He's more or less a good guy.
Yeah, here comes Crumb. It's just his head. The rest of him is still, like...
Yeah, like, I can't picture Cedric, you know, going off on a mission to save someone like the trio would, but I definitely see him standing there and doing the right thing when...
Yeah, and then all in all, I mean, I think that his death was very powerful and effective in what she writes in this book. I mean, he's just this kid who, you know...
He's an everyday kid. He's
he
like
just was in the
else.
Wrong place at the wrong time, and that's what Voldemort does.
Okay, this is how you know Rupert's hair is too long.
Yeah, his hair was way too long. It shouldn't have been that long.
How the hell did he get some of the word green?
I was just thinking the exact same thing. It's like, yeah, we just want you to hang at the bottom of the lake.
Would you do that for me?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, if we were wizards.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't just go down to the bottom of a lake and hope you find me.
Well, look, it's four. She lasted 30 seconds.
And they didn't bother to tell her that, like, her sister's not going to die. That's kind of mean. Uh-oh. He's like Grindelows. He's kind of scary looking.
Okay, as someone who screams like a little girl when I see a large spider, this would not be good. Okay, what spell was that?
I don't know. Was that look at all the marks on him because of it.
It reminds me of the one Hermione used with the pixies.
Yeah, like Immobilis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why she always has a thing for Ron, because Ron brings her up. I never got that before. Okay.
And this, I mean, what is this spell that he's about to use? Oh, how convenient.
Made Dumbledore in his glue gun wig. Yeah, you're fine. He's all right, Barty. You see, he defaults to Barty. Dumbledore has such a crush on him. It's all right, Barty. He's fine.
She would have died. She should have a beetle in her hair.
Okay. To those of you who are Harry Hermione fans, pick yourself up off the floor. Yes, she kissed him. Richard Harris never needed to use his wand. Look at Nigel.
Aww.
Oh, God. Is there a cane all of a sudden?
Oh, I don't know. It's a walking stick.
He's a great name.
I'm gonna flick my tongue so y'all know it's me!
Okay. This is how they so change the plot. Why wouldn't he know? He's supposed to be under the Imperius Charm. So the only thing I can figure is he's not under the Imperius Charm in this movie, in that Barty just happened to escape from Azkaban. And it's all a big coinky dink, you know what I mean? And when he realizes that, you know, it's his son, he winds up dead a few hours later because maybe he tries to do something about it. That's the only thing I can picture.
I don't know.
So he's never under the Imperius curse, and this is never, there's no winky. I do like this right here.
Oh, Hagrid's so proud. I love it.
You find his hat, his gloves, his cane. You can find his pants in the middle. Oh my God, they killed the bishop.
I shouldn't be laughing, but it's just so
no,
bad.
No, in the novel, he went missing for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's the leprechaun.
Because Crumb wants to go for a walk with Harry and ask her about Hermione.
Ask him.
And they come across him, and he sends Crumb for help.
Look how small Dumbledore looks. He looks afraid of Fudge.
So that's the same guy?
Yeah, I believe it is.
He just looks very different.
Okay, when he's quirky like that, I don't mind him.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing with the liquor snaps is stupid.
Oh, it is, but that's not his fault.
It's a waste of effects. It's a waste of money on effects.
That's the moron screenwriter. I mean, there's only so much I can blame Michael Gambon for. I'm coming to grips with that.
Understandably, but still I don't get it.
Okay, is Fox moving in the background, or is that just a statue?
He's moving. No, he's moving.
Oh, Fox.
So So he grabs a handful.
Yeah, because you're going to eat that?
Yeah, who would eat that? You have to step on candy. This it's not like worth eating.
It's like the random plot devices. You have this, you have the random hurricane breaking out in the Great Hall.
Oh, and look, the licorice snaps falling on the floor made that door open. That's pretty cool.
Now, what we hit, like, the trap door button. What happens in the book to get him to see?
He
just happens
to see
the light. He can see
it. He can see the light in the closet, so he just goes to look at it. Nothing out of the ordinary. He just goes and looks at it, because he's curious. I like the idea of the Pensieve. That's one of my favorite.
Is he waving his wand over?
No, I don't think so.
Harry looked like he was.
He doesn't have his wand out.
Well, this is a great idea, and I have to tell you, it's produced some incredible fan fiction.
Yeah.
Okay, here. It looks like
No, he has his wand out, so maybe...
It looks like he literally has, like, a beard. No, wait, so this is around... This is... Harry's born, then. This is Harry as a baby. Now picture the Richard Harris in the first scene in Philosopher's Stone, and now picture Michael Gambon here. It's just the makeup, it just makes him seem like a young guy, and he shouldn't be. Is he even British?
No, he's French. That actor is French.
Well, that's confusing. I thought they only used British actors.
You know, I'm pretty sure he's French. You could look it up. Ooh, their hats. Hey, she used to write it herself then. She doesn't have that green quill.
A witch hunt.
I like that. I like how the way he defended Snape there. I thought that was well done.
No, I do too. I think my complaint about Dumbledore in this scene is just the makeup. You shouldn't look this much younger. It's only been a few years.
That's true.
Harcroft doesn't even look that much younger. This is great here, too. It's like, how not to look...
Oh, I love the look on her face. She's like, what?
How not to look conspicuous.
I know, he gives himself away. I'm just gonna run for it. Like, they really made him look crazy. Just literally nuts.
You ever heard of Not Guilty?
So stupid.
Yeah, it's like,
dumb.
It's like, don't you think he would have been like, you would have suspected him long before if he was that crazy?
Yeah, his dad's like...
Would you have noticed he was like bouncing around the room before the trial started? Or before the thing started? I like the placement of him there. He's like part of the woodwork almost.
Mm.
He looks very misty. Do you think this seems like Dumbledore?
No. Especially when he sits down on the stairs? No. No. I don't know. That's not how I feel for Dumbledore.
You know why I agree with you on that? The only time Dumbledore seems truly fallible is when he's drinking the potion at the end of Half-Blood Prince, and that's why that moment is so shocking. Because, and I've said this many times in the podcast, Dumbledore is fallible all the way through the books, but it's Harry's perception changes. The older he gets, the less, you know, Dumbledore is able to take care of everything. This is too soon for Dumbledore to be just an old, confused man. You have to read a couple more books for that.
You know what it is that I think Richard Harris's Dumbledore had? You felt like you could trust Dumbledore. He felt like the benevolent old man that would take care of you and would answer your questions. I don't get that from Michael Gambon. I can understand why Harry wouldn't want to confide in him, because he's just not...
Well, he'll throw you into...
He'll
knock you into a trophy case.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm very interested to know, because it's almost like good cop, bad cop. You love Richard Harris when you're a young little kid. You know, Michael Gambon's maybe the Dumbledore that you're really going to end up getting anyway. It would have been interesting to see how Richard Harris handled this role.
Yeah, I agree.
Why would you open the door there?
Slightly obvious. And why is his storage cabinet that far from his classroom?
Yeah.
They're not in the dungeons.
I don't think they have the dungeon set available. Why would they be having class in the Great Hall?
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's not quite sure. We know that.
Yeah. Aren't you doing it?
Well, like, if you go on J.K. Rowling's website and they ask her, some people have asked her a lot why they couldn't use Veritaserum in the trials and, you know, why can't they use it in a system of law? And she says, because if you're truly, you know, if you're, like, a really good wizard, you can protect yourself from the effects of it. You could, like, transfigure the potion. You could hide it. You could... I don't know. She explains that it's really not that reliable.
Yeah.
So it's kind of... You can't really say, oh, three drops of this and Voldemort would tell us everything. Because he wouldn't. He'd find some way to reverse the effect.
What's up with... I love how they turn Flitwick into the choir master.
Yeah. And they're the cheerleaders, apparently.
And the male cheerleaders. And then, oh, God, is Nigel in there? Oh, yep, Nigel's in there. Dumbledore just has so much fabric.
He has no color.
He just looks so confused and dazed. And he doesn't have any of that... I don't know. I'm sorry if this is like a Dumbledore hate fest. It just...
Me too.
I wonder if his father's his campaign manager. Who doesn't want anything? All the staff are in the way, are in the stands.
I think they're getting out.
No, because McGonagall goes there at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a little Flitwick over there. It looks like a garden gnome, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd really want him bailing me out.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This isn't Oh, God, a gamble. This is Oh, God, the crappy screenwriting.
Yeah, I don't like the way they did the maze.
Well, no, in the novel, it was creatures. It was infested with these dangerous creatures.
Exam.
In the movie, it was more of a psychological thrill ride because they ran out of money. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Aww. That was very well done. I don't care. I don't like comic relief Filch. I think he was funnier as menacing Filch. Although, you know what, if you don't have room for them, probably.
But yeah, I agree. I think that, obviously you can do it this way without, you can make it a psychological maze without just having a big, huge budget for special effects.
You know, I was listening to a,
it's not as fun to watch.
Yeah, I was listening to Battlestar Galactica's commentary earlier today, and the executive producer commented that he wanted to build this great big set for a scene. It was the one you saw with Kara waking up and she was in her apartment with the alarm clock going off.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted it to be on this alien ship, and they didn't have the money to build the set, so they did it the much simpler way, and it actually worked out better as a result of budget cuts, or, you know, them hitting the budgetary wall. So maybe this works out better being a psychological thrill ride. I just don't get it. It just seems like, you know, wind and...
Yeah, it's like they don't tell you what it is about the maze that changes people. It just, I don't know. I didn't buy into it.
It would be helpful right there. What is that spell that Harry used in the last one to just fly up in the air?
Yeah, I know. Just use Ascendio and land in the middle.
Oh, but then the storyline would turn out so different, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You imagine if it all ended here, if your life said he got killed by a shrub.
I shouldn't laugh, but yeah.
It's okay to laugh. His wand is bent. Wake up!
He has bloody shoes, too.
That's right.
Milky-eyed. That's weird.
How do we tell the liars?
She's definitely not a Gryffindor.
Yeah. How would you make her? She's not a Ravenclaw. She's not smart enough. I love After the End for, you know, to those of you who are somehow listening to this podcast or haven't listened to After the End, visit PerfectWeekly.com, but we'll have links up, but... I don't know. Fleur is just butchered in this.
Yeah, she is. She's totally butchered. So what happens to her? I mean, she gets dragged in with the maze. I mean, what does it just pull her outside?
I don't know. Because in the novel, he's trying to... What is he doing in the novel? He actually...
I don't get that. He's just like, I'm going to look at Harry. And I'm going to keep walking.
Yeah.
But,
after you know, in the novel, he tries to attack someone. He tries to kill someone.
He does?
Doesn't he? Because he's trying to, like, knock out contestants. He tries to knock out Fleur. Oh, I can't remember. Do you?
It's so bad. I've read the books enough times. You think I should know. And I wouldn't want to be watching this task either, because you just stand and stare at the bushes. Oh, let's go watch the bushes move! Like, that's not fun.
Ooh, it's windy.
I mean, granted, they wouldn't have seen anything if they had done the maze the other way either, but...
Yeah, if you actually think about it, the last two tasks are incredibly boring.
Yeah, you get to stand and watch the lake and watch the bushes. That's it.
Spell to end all spells.
Spellionis.
That took his wand away.
It didn't take his wand away. That's the whole point of the spell.
They got Cedric's mind off that one faster.
Yeah. And now they're in a mad dash for the...
I thought Cedric actually... I'm sorry, I thought Crumb actually attacked Fleur.
He probably did.
In the novel.
Well, that's like looking back on it, you know, Harry probably wishes more than anything that he left Cedric behind. I mean, not in the sense that the maze got him, but in the,
yeah,
you know, in the broader sense that he didn't take him with him. He didn't insist that they both take the cup.
I bet Cedric insisted on it.
Well, that's true.
But he is a fair Hufflepuff, my house.
Well, what if only Cedric took it?
God, that would have been cool.
You know, like, that would have ruined Voldemort's whole plan. He would have been like, who are you?
Would that be awful? Jules, I'm not going to ask you right now to take your overworking.
All that work for nothing.
Kill the... Oh, I guess he's the only one here. What I don't like here is Cedric becomes a cabbage head when... Oh, no, both of them. All Harry has to scream is, Death Eaters, grab the cup. And it's like they both have time to escape. Death Eaters, grab the cup. Oh, yes, yeah. Death Eaters, grab the cup. Ooh, the cooking lesson's coming up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, reading it, it all made sense.
This is not how I pictured this at all. Death Eaters, get the cup.
He's telling him to get back to the cup.
Yeah, he's not telling him why.
Oh,
Death Eaters,
God.
Get the cup.
Creepy.
I refer to this as the Rachel Ray cook-along.
And it's bad because I think in the book this is one of just the most, really one of the best written scenes when he resurrects Voldemort. I love the words, but they don't put them all in.
Okay, now he's making, you know, vegetable bisque. Is there such a thing as vegetable bisque?
I don't know.
2 cups celery... You know, cutting off your hand, you think this would hurt a little bit more. 2 cups.
Yeah, and Wormtail, like, really whimpered when he had to do that. I mean, he didn't...
Yeah, he just cut his hand off.
He just cut his hand off. He didn't even, like, whimper about it. He was just like, okay, I'm gonna cut my arm off. Cut my hand off.
Half a pound of chicken breast to peel off the skins. Put it in the juicer. It seems like he's making, you know...
Yeah, they don't explain well what each step is
doing. It's not. It guts the dialogue from the book, and it just... It does. It seems like...
But this is cool.
It seems like something off the Food Network.
This is
I like how the cauldron became his clothing.
So creepy. Ugh. Gross. Literally got no nose. Ah, oh, so creepy.
Much better done than Philosopher's Stone. Or even the back of Coral's head. You know, you'd hardly believe the Wormtail's bleeding out.
Yeah, you'd hardly believe you just lost a, you know, hand.
Voldemort is a very much a beta male in this.
Yeah.
He's not very, I don't know, He seems too low-key. He seems a little too...
I kind of think that's what makes him creepy, though.
He seems too dainty. And I pictured the apparition as, like, just like a flash, you're there.
Yeah, definitely. Unless this is the idea of the dark mark, because they're all coming, like, out of the dark mark or something. But, yeah. And it, you see how, like, they're kind of coming out of the tongue of the thing, but yeah.
Although they all have, they're all ready to get ready for work here. We returned 10 minutes ago, and they all have their masks on, their little KKK heads.
Hmm. You know, after hearing that thing they did on podcast, that's all I hear. When they did that little interview with Melissa and Ellie in Voldemort.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to see this, a woman gasped at this point. She was like, oh my god, Lucius is the Death Eater. I'm like, okay.
Well, you could see his hair coming out the back of the hat, I mean. My slippery friend.
Slippery. That's the thing. Are any of the... Do you think any of the Death Eaters are truly, truly loyal? Mm. Other than Bellatrix?
Well, no.
I think Bellatrix is.
Well, Bellatrix, I think, went to school with Tom Riddle, and she feels personal loyalty to Riddle. But I don't sense that...
They just... They're scared of him.
He doesn't feel anything to her.
And that's what he can't understand about Harry, is he doesn't get why people would want to die for Harry. Voldemort wouldn't die for anyone, and then his Death Eaters wouldn't die for him. I mean, they don't understand what it is that Harry has with his friends.
Dear sweet Lily Potter.
And you know what?
I can't picture those words.
I was rereading. Well, you said them very sarcastically, but...
Was that in the book?
When I was reading...
Was that in the novel?
I don't remember. When I was reading Philosopher's Stone again, it's reiterated that Voldemort says at the end, your mother needn't have died. Why would he have let her live?
When did he say that in Philosopher's Stone?
He says it at the end when... They're in with the mirror. He says to Harry, your mother needn't have died. That's what I want to know. That's what I really want
to
know.
Snape cut a deal to save Lily.
I don't know.
Which means Snape. He wouldn't do. No, he's like running. He's scampering off. He's got his little. He was like daintily running across the graveyard there. No, I think Snape had something that Voldemort needed and he cut a deal with Voldemort.
I don't like this. Harry doesn't bow. He can throw off the Imperius.
Well, they cut that from the movie. He does do Crucio Crucio.
A little bit.
With the clapper.
I mean, look at how he talks about Lily, and yet he wasn't going to kill her. I don't get it.
He's quite creepy.
Mm-hmm. It's like, saying this as quietly as he is makes it even worse, I think.
You know what I pictured of the scene? I pictured, like, an all-black background, almost like a stage, without, like, the fake-looking skyline and the
I love this look right here. He's got great. That. He's got that.
He did good.
That is great.
He did good. That's exactly how it, that's my favorite
character. You can see what's going through his head right there. He just knows what he's going to do. I like this. I like this, the way they did this. Very dramatic. Mm-hmm. That looks cool. Sort of like a lightsaber duel. Yeah, it's like Voldemort's holding on with two fingers, and Harry's like grabbing on for dear life. Now that's Frank. Now they leave out the, oh no, Cedric, what am I saying? They leave out that random woman that he kills from the ministry, because they don't bring that up, but she shoots out at some point.
Why is he balding?
I know, I don't like that.
Ooh, that's the thing. They
Voldemort looks creepy there.
Harry's parents in The Mirror of Erised were present day. They were older. They died at 21, 22. I thought that was done very well right
now. I agree. Ugh, and it's just all the worst.
I thought that Amos Diggory was a little the actor.
That's what makes it worse. No, but you know what? It's not.
I take that back.
It's not. He's happy. He thinks his son won. Then he just finds out he's dead. I mean, that's horrible.
I think the actors played Floyd did a really good job right there.
I think Harry does well on this.
He like throws
Dumbledore. Yeah, I mean, he's... I don't like Fudge. Oh, what an ass.
I don't think anyone can. Oh, this is good acting right here. I thought the scene acted a little too long. I think I wish it was edited a little bit differently, but oh god. What's the question? Can they tell that Cedric was killed by a Avada Kedavra? I know it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, do they have... How would they know?
How does Fudge... How does everyone else assume Cedric got killed?
I don't know.
Because the Phelps twins are following. If only they followed a little bit farther along. I do like, though, that Ron and Hermione are separated from Harry. They try and get to him, but they just can't get there in time.
So let's begin the 10-minute transformation back to Barty.
Yeah.
Takes forever. Mm-hmm. You know, the only way I can justify this in my mind is that, okay, he's been taking Polyjuice Potion for a really, really, really long time. Maybe it takes longer to...
To get out of it?
Now, I don't know.
You know what? And this is the thing, and to be honest, I haven't read the books as much as I should have. Okay. Remus forgot to take the Wolfsbane Potion that day in the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Crouch just forgot to make enough Polyjuice Potion to get himself through the day.
I don't know. Maybe he thought he had more than he did.
Spike.
Yep. Harry's a little too calm for me in this scene. Like, he's calmed down too much from what happened too fast.
I have that complaint a little bit later, too.
Yeah.
I think
when they bring him back, that scene is really well done, but now he's just sitting quietly. I mean,
Now, why isn't he trying to fight back?
I mean, unless you can attribute it to just shock, but, you know. Stupid tongue thing, I don't get it. Because I know that people have mentioned before, it's like, why go through that whole process of the Triwizard Tournament? You know, like you said, he could have just taken him much earlier on, but I don't know, maybe my thinking is they didn't want to raise suspicion, they just wanted it done clean.
Well, it
didn't happen, but like, if you think about it, if they go through the whole process and Harry all of a sudden just disappears.
Hang on a second.
It would be harder for Dumbledore to come running to save him.
Gambon does well in this scene. Dumbledore is supposed to look enraged beyond any description. A fake. I think a lot of what Voldemort is about the... What's a good way to put this? He's about ritual. He could have taken anyone's blood. He wanted Harry's.
Yeah.
He could have taken Harry at any time. He wanted him as the Triwizard winner.
Right.
I think Melissa Nelly was right. He wanted dramatic. To make the cup a Horcrux.
Yeah. This poor guy. And he must have, like, no hair left because Barty's been taking all his hair off.
That'd be great if Mad-Eye's completely bald in Order of the Phoenix. Could you imagine that scene in the Chamber of Secrets?
No. That's so stupid.
Oh my god, he's still completely off his rocker.
Yep.
Look at Maggie Smith.
What is that? I don't get that.
Yeah, they too streamlined the entire process. They got rid of the Imperius Curse, they got rid of everything with the Mother and Winky.
What really happens is they...
I want to know what was said in this scene.
They administer a Dementor's Kiss, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they cut that too. They cut everything not nailed to the ground, and I think that they cut far... Oh, God. I'm going to talk over the scene because it's so terrible.
Ruined the most... well-written lines in this book, and they just
For those of you who don't have the book handy, allow me to sum the scene up for you in a more concise way. Cedric was kind to small animals. He helped little old ladies cross the street. He paid his taxes on time. And he always used floss before he kissed girls. You can now turn off the movie. That's all you're going to get from the scene. Okay. A fierce, fierce friend. They couldn't think of another adjective to use. They just had to repeat fear. It just... Oh my god, the scene fits.
They could have taken the dialogue verbatim from the book. Right there.
Oh god, Hermione's crying again. You know, they could have verbatim taken it, like you said, verbatim taken it from the book. The only reason they didn't is the screenwriter is a hack who wanted to try and improve upon what J.K. Rowling wrote, and he is no match for her.
No, not even close.
I think he's talking about the loss of the scene. I mean, what they're talking about is good. We come from different places, but we're all one. We're all in this together. And I think that's a very strong message.
But it's not said nearly as well as it should have been.
It's not said nearly as well. And the message here isn't supposed to be... The message here is supposed to be, we can do what's right or we can do what's easy. And they take that out so that he can deliver it one-on-one to Harry later.
I don't like that.
It doesn't work as well at all.
Who is fair and good and kind. I mean, it's
and
just...
Honest.
Yeah, I don't like that they took that line away and put
it's an
it...
It's awkward transition here, too. All of a sudden, it just becomes like a door. Alright, now this is the scene I call... It's nice to show some type of... It's good that they show some type of relationship between these two guys. Although... I refer to this as the scene where blind Dumbledore pats Harry on the head as though he can't find him.
So he's a Gryffindor then.
Mm-hmm. A good moment of return. We kept Priori in tandem too. Sorry about that, folks.
No, it's like in most cases they treat the viewer like they're stupid and they explain absolutely everything and they repeat things, but yeah with this they don't. They're just like, well, you can figure it out. Bad screenwriting.
You can have even a few words in here, the final people killed by the...
You don't have to tell Harry that, he knows.
You tell everyone else that. That's why Harry's special, that's why he favors Harry, because Harry is already involved with these things.
Right.
Except in the next movie, when I pretend you don't even exist.
Yep.
Thanks, John, from the podcast for that one. Yeah, just pat him on the head. That's good. Yeah, good boy. You almost died. Yeah, just slap him on the face and just walk out. Jackass. Let me see if I can see Nigel making that. Oh, God, there's Nigel off to the left.
Where?
Way over to the left.
Oh. Oh, that's kind of cute.
I like this moment a lot. I remember Nigel jumping out there and grabbing Crumb's hand. You know what this here, and maybe I'm confusing this too much with the end of Order of the Phoenix, but there becomes a point where Harry just doesn't care about anything anymore. He looks out at these people and he can't understand, you know, how they can be excited about the end of the school year or about typical teenage things. Harry is so apart from them now based on what he experienced at that graveyard. But he looks like he's having a good time, and that just doesn't seem right to me. Maybe I'm...
Well, and everybody's very happy that... I really think it would have been more sober, but...
Yeah.
That's not Nigel, then.
Oh, that's not Nigel. It's a very good point. I do like this, but I don't think Harry is... I like Hermione, in this moment. I'm not sure Harry is emotionally together enough to be this calm.
Yeah. I liked that more as a rhetorical question. I don't think it needed an answer, but, you know...
I would have liked if Harry had said something like that, and they walked over and just kind of grabbed him by the shoulders and brought him along with them.
Yeah, but he's joking around, and yeah. You know what? Harry doesn't get over things that fast. No, it doesn't look like a lake. That looks like a river.
Yeah, they kind of change that in every movie, huh?
Yep.
Seal the hole in the lake. Voldemort will get through. So, final thoughts on the movie?
It has a lot of strong points. Fred and George being my favorites. That's what holds this movie up for me.
I think this movie, Michael Gambon, obviously, I like to bitch about him. I blame the collapse on Dumbledore partly on his... You know what? I mean, he didn't read the books, and neither did Richard Harris, so I can't blame that. The screenwriting is atrocious at times. The directing by Mike Newell was just a mixed bag, and I found him extremely pompous in his treatment of the canon, and I just didn't enjoy what he and Gambon brought to the character of Dumbledore. I thought it was very distinct from the character that we're used to, especially after you had Richard Harris just nail it so well. I think that they cut everything that wasn't directly tied to the main plot, and they left out too much, and they substituted parts that mm-hmm. weren't even in the book. Mm-hmm. And I understand you have to change things. If you want to cut out Winky and Dobby and just cut and pare the plot down to its most basic element, that Guy got out of Azkaban and, you know, is wreaking havoc and, you know, take up everything about his father and all that, that's fine, but... In that case, you have a movie about someone breaking out of Azkaban. You have two movies in a row about people breaking out of Azkaban. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. I definitely think this would have been a really good first draft of the movie, but I think there were so many changes that could have been made.
Yeah, I agree. Because what I loved so much about reading this book is that as you read it, the plot just gets so much thicker, and every time you turn a page, you're like, whoa, it's even more complicated than I thought, which is what I loved reading about this book, is that the plot just kept changing, and, you know, it wasn't just, like, Barty Crouch. Like, I don't know, even the way they explained how he got out of Azkaban, that they switched it with his mother, and it was just all so complicated, and that's what I loved about it. And in the movie, it's like, oh, it's just he broke out of Azkaban, apparently. I mean, it just is, I don't know, it's too pared down.
We both like Prisoner of Azkaban a lot better, so I think if you're looking for a more enjoyable podcast, maybe you can find that one.
But I do love the Phelps twins. They do a good job as Fred and George.
Yes, they do.
And other than some mishaps in the casting, I think in general it's... Yeah. You know.
I mean, what you have here, you have two really strong Harry Potter fans in love with the canon who just, you know... There are parts of these movies we're never going to like. I'm never going to like Rupert Grint. I'm never going to like Emma Watson. I just think there were some mistakes that were made early on.
I like Emma Watson in the first movie. I don't like her in 2, 3, or 4 that much. She's just, they don't write her well. They don't write Hermione well. They don't write Ron well at all. But
at least we have Nigel.
Yeah, we got Nigel.
All right, this one's falling asleep, so we're going to get out of here, folks. Thank you for joining us for Goblet of the Fire, and we hope to see you soon for the Prisoner of Azkaban. Like I said, Gambon only will get better from here. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.